My name is Al Whitney. Welcome to In Defense of Humanity on this 22nd day of July 2017. This program is about helping people reawaken to the wonderful qualities of our own species while accepting and understanding that the current corporate commercial legal structure, both government and business, is built upon is actively seeking to take control of most organic life forms on the planet. Restoring our unalienable rights and preserving our planet will require that we, the people, understand what has happened and learn how to empower ourselves as living men and women. Much of the information discussed on this show can be found on my website, anticorruptionsociety.com. If you need to remind yourself why humanity is worth defending, please read and enjoy the In Defense of Humanity page listed at the top of my homepage. I'd like to make new listeners aware that there is a free People's Empowerment Guide to our corporate commercial legal system on my website called Lawfully Yours. It is a collaboration of many men and women in the legal accountability movement. You can locate it by clicking on the Lawfully Yours tab at the top of my homepage. Our guide has been viewed more than 60,000 times since it was posted 2.5 years ago, and it is now in its 9th edition. We keep adding to it as more info and ideas come to our attention. This guide contains valuable strategies for challenging the non-existent authority of our corporate government. Well, tonight's topic is really an exciting one. I've been kind of watching different audio clips, listening to audio clips, watching YouTubes of Bruce Lipton, Dr. Bruce Lipton, all week. And if you're unfamiliar with him, you'll get an introduction to Dr. Bruce Lipton tonight, because his work is just absolutely mind-blowing. It is absolutely mind-blowing. It completely changes the scientific paradigm regarding what is life and what is responsible for life, and cell regeneration. And he's also talking about biotechnology. So if you're not aware that biotechnology is bigger than bingo, I don't know where you've been, because it's everywhere. It's in all the hospitals. The FDA even has a section about biotechnology on their website. But in 2003, these Canadian producers created a wonderful documentary called The Corporation. If you haven't seen it, I strongly recommend you do, because it really is a foundational piece when it comes to understanding what corporations are. And since we are absolutely certain that the United States government is another corporation, we talk about that all the time. That's on the little ad that I made for this program. It helps to understand what a corporation is. But they did a segment in that wonderful documentary, the award-winning, I might add, that's only 5 minutes long. And in this segment, they talked about gene patenting and the new technology based on their ability to patent living genes. So it's called Advancing the Front. Let's start tonight by listening to what was exposed in 2003 in this wonderful documentary, The Corporation.
Today, the job of building this nation geographically is completed. There are no new frontiers within our borders. So, to what new horizons can we look now? Where are tomorrow's opportunities? What's ahead for you, for your children? The frontiers of the future are not on any map. They are in the test tubes and laboratories of the great industries.
The Jacobardi case is one of the great judicial moments in world history, and the public was totally unaware it was actually happening as the process was being engaged. General Electric and Professor Jacobardi went to the patent office with a little microbe that eats up oil spills. They said they had modified this microbe in the laboratory, and therefore it was an invention. The patent office, the U.S. government, took a look at this, quote, invention, and they said, no way. The patent statutes don't cover living things. This is not an invention. Turned down. Then General Electric and Dr. Jacobardi appealed to the U.S. Customs Court of Appeal. And to everyone's surprise, by a 3-2 decision, they overrode the patent office.
We bring good things to life.
And they said, this microbe looks more like a detergent or a reagent than a horse or a honeybee. I laughed because they didn't understand basic biology. It looked like a chemical to them. Had it had an antenna or eyes or wings or legs, it would never have crossed their table and been patented. Then the patent office appealed. And what the public should realize now is the patent office was very clear that you can't patent life. My organization provided the main amicus curiae brief. If you allow the patent on this microbe, we argued, it means that without any congressional guidance or public discussion, corporations will own the blueprints of life. When they made the decision, we lost by 5-4, and Chief Justice Warren Burger said, sure, some of these are big issues, but we think this is a small decision. 7 years later, the U.S. Patent Office issued a one-sentence decree. You can patent anything in the world that's alive except a full-birth human being.
The Supreme Court of the United States ruled today that living organisms produced in the laboratory may be patented. This decision to extend
patent protection. The U.S. Supreme Court had to decide was whether one man or one company should be able to control new forms of life.
We allow a company or college to exclusively own a species. What does that say about our reverence for life?
Researchers at Harvard manipulated the genes of mice, making their offspring more susceptible to cancer. They patented the Harvard mouse in the U.S., Europe, and Japan.
The legal battle that finally came to an end today. The Supreme Court of Canada ruled the genetically engineered mouse can't write patent.
Canadians don't think that life forms are inventions of industry, like bulbs and
scientists widgets. And drug companies search the planet for genes.
Companies scouring the planet looking for valuable DNA, genes they can patent
themselves. It feels a lot like the Wild West. We've got bandits going around the world, collecting wherever they can, sometimes under false pretenses.
Because it's been so isolated, Newfoundland has a unique gene pool. And there's so much interest from gene prospectors.
My genetic blueprint really has been taken away from me.
Instead of being the impartial pursuit of the truth, has become the pursuit of profit.
We've all been hearing about the announcement that we have mapped the human genome, but what the public doesn't know is now there's a great race by genomic companies and biotech companies and life science companies to find the treasure in the map. The treasure are the individual genes that make up the blueprint of the human race. Every time they capture a gene and isolate it, these biotech companies claim it as intellectual property. The breast cancer gene, the cystic fibrosis gene, it goes on and on and on. if this goes unchallenged in the world community. Within less than 10 years, a handful of global companies will own directly or through license the actual genes that make up the evolution of our species, and they're now beginning to patent the genomes of every other creature on this planet. In the age of biology, the politics is going to sort out between those who believe life first has intrinsic value, and therefore we should choose technologies and commercial venues that honor the intrinsic value, and then we're going to have people who believe, look, life is simply a utility. It's commercial fare, and they will line up with the idea to let the marketplace be the ultimate arbiter of all of the age of biology.
Hi there. This is Mark Akbar.
Okay. I should cut that off. You can turn that off. Thanks. That was just a little trailer that they put on the end of these things to remind the listeners that all of these chapters of the corporation are free online. And they remind you when you get done listening that you could contribute to their efforts because they did an excellent job and they continue to make documentaries. So, okay, so where did we go from there? Well, just this week, I found this, and it really did shock me. I found it on the FDA.gov website. I was looking for the definition of new molecular entities because I had heard that phrase used to describe new drugs. And in my search, I came across this, and I was quite frankly shocked. It states on their website, new drugs at FDA, CDERs, new molecular entities, and new therapeutic biological products. Innovation drives progress. When it comes to innovation in the development of new drugs and therapeutic biological products, FDA's Center for Drug Evaluation and Research supports the pharmaceutical industry at every step of the process. With its understanding of the science used to create new products, testing and manufacturing procedures, and the diseases and conditions that new products are designed to treat, FDA provides scientific and regulatory advice needed to bring new therapies to market. The availability of new drugs and biological products often means new treatment options for patients and advances in healthcare for the American public. For this reason, CDER supports innovation and plays a key role in helping to advance new drug developments. Each year, CDER approves a wide range of new drugs and biological products. Some of these products are innovative new products that never before have been used in clinical practice. Others are the same as or related to previously approved products, and they will compete with those products in the marketplace. Certain drugs are classified as new molecular entities for purposes of FDA review. Many of these products contain active moieties, which is parts of a compound, of a molecular compound, that have not been approved by FDA previously, either as a single ingredient drug or as part of a combination product. These products frequently provide important new therapy for patients. Some drugs are characterized as NME, that's new molecular entities, for administrative purposes, but nonetheless contain active moieties that are closely related to active moieties in products that have previously been approved by FDA. For example, CDER, which is that organization, CDER, classifies biological products submitted in an application under Section 351A of the Public Health Service Act as NMEs, which is new molecular entities, for purposes of FDA review, regardless of whether the agency previously has approved a related active moiety in a different product. FDA's classification of a drug as an NME for review purposes is distinct from FDA's determination of whether a drug product is a new chemical entity, NCE, within the meaning of the food drug, of the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act. The reason I wanted to read that is there was nothing in it. The word efficacy did not appear anywhere in this description of how the FDA deals with new drugs, nor was there any reference to the word safety. Okay? Nothing about either word, safety or efficacy. In fact, they described themselves as being basically partners on these new products, these new molecular entities and the new therapeutic biological products. Nowhere do they infer that they are a watchdog protecting the public's health. Doesn't say it, doesn't infer it. You can't draw that conclusion by reading this description. That would be an outrageous presumption because it's not in it. And yet, we still got people screaming every day, the FDA isn't doing its job. It is telling you here what it considers its job to be, okay, on these new drugs and these new therapeutic biological products. Its job is to provide scientific and regulatory advice needed to bring new therapies to market. I just want everybody to get that and stop saying the FDA is not doing their job. This is their job. Their job is not to protect the public. They don't even pretend anymore. There's no pretense that when a new drug is approved, that it's being approved as safe and effective. So I just wanted to make that clear. The listeners have heard me say that a million times. The FDA does not protect the population. Don't expect them to. That means all these new drugs, there's no guarantee they won't kill you. I'm sorry, but that's just what's happened, folks. Okay, so let's go to the good news. And the good news is Bruce Lipton has made amazing discoveries, and he is actually going to make this nightmare where they're patenting DNA, they're patenting genes. He is going to make this nightmare appear insane because he absolutely has proof, valid proof, that they have got the definition of what is the meaning of life wrong. Scientists have taken that definition and they're trying to sell it, market it, make money off of it, and it's wrong. And we're going to listen to Bruce Lipton explain why it's wrong. But before that, if I find it here on my desk, I had a quote I wanted to read to the listeners, a really valuable quote, because we've got all of science, all of our mainstream science over on one side. And right now, for the moment, it seems that we have Bruce Lipton on the other side, microbiologist Bruce Lipton. So let me read what Mahatma Gandhi had to say. Many people, especially ignorant people, want to punish you for speaking the truth, for being correct, for being you. Never apologize for being correct or for being years ahead of your time. If you're right and you know it, speak your mind. Speak your mind. Even if you are a minority of one, the truth is still the truth. And that's what I perceive, I believe, and I think the listeners will agree when they get done familiarizing themselves with the work of Dr. Bruce Lipton. Well, he seems to be only one at the time, at least to my knowledge. The truth is still the truth. So let's play the first clip from this. Is a wonderful presentation that he gave. You can find it on YouTube. Let me tell you how you find it. If you go to YouTube, type in your search, YouTube dash, Bruce Lipton, The Regeneration of Your Cells. And this presentation is, that's where I got it. That's where I downloaded it from. Bruce Lipton, The Regeneration of Your Cells. So I took these clips from this. We're going to go to break. I guess we're going to wait till after break and we'll listen to what Bruce Lipton has to say.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep, a catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Welcome back to In Defense of Humanity, and tonight I'm going to play some audio clips from a presentation that Bruce Lipton did called The Regeneration of Your Cells. The whole presentation is an hour and 38 minutes, and I'm not a microbiologist by any stretch of the imagination. And in this presentation, he does talk a lot about science. Some of it's going to be above many people's heads. A lot of it was above my head. But try not to get discouraged. I mean, the more you listen to him, the more sense it all makes. And most of what he has to say, I think the majority of the listeners will understand well enough to know how important this is. And probably they'll understand well enough to know what good news this is for humanity. I mean, Bruce Lipton is looking for the origins of life. And he believes that the dogma that's being taught in science today, much of which originated from Darwin, most physicians believe. And you go into their office and you sit across the room from them, you're going to have to be aware that they have been trained to believe this kind of thinking about genes and disease And that's the interpretation that they're going to have to whatever you have to say. So it's important that we understand what physicians are being taught as well as understand what the truth is. So I'm going to let Sam go ahead and start this clip. And when we get the next break, he'll pause it and continue it after the break. Let's hear this.
So what Watson and Crick revealed was the nature of how the code was put into the blueprint. It was the sequencing of those four bases, A, T, C, and G, so that all of a sudden the genetic code was broken. I remember back in 1953, being relatively younger then, the headline that came out in the New York paper was a tabloid, and the entire front page in giant block letters was, "Secret of Life Discovered." And from that point on, biology has been so wrapped up in the genes, because after 100 years from Charles Darwin's suggestion that heredity was carried by substance in the germ cells, we finally identify what that substance is and know the code. And science was really excited because, remember, science's mission statement was to dominate and control nature. With the finding of an understanding of the genetic code, scientists saw that, oh, the future, the mission that they've been working on was really near, that by understanding the nature of the genetic code, that we could change the characters of organism, change the traits, and therefore we would succeed in the mission of what? Dominating and controlling nature. So there was a big headlong rush into the Human Genome Project to try to understand the nature of the genes. And the relevance about all this is that when we started to step back and say, well, what did we find? We found that the traits of an organism are controlled by the genes that are transmitted from parent to child, and the genes were more or less the fate of an individual. So that conventional belief was that at the moment of fertilization, you get a set of genes from your mother, you get a set of genes from your father, the two come together, and then from that set of genes, it presents a program or fate map of the future of that individual. At first, we thought these genes only control just the physical form. But the more they started to manipulate the genes, they also started to see that there were influences on behavior and influences on emotion. So all of a sudden, the genes take on more profound meaning in our new world of biology, because all of a sudden, it describes all the characters and traits of a human are apparently controlled by these genes. Well, what's interesting was that science didn't really stop at that point. Francis Crick and James Watson said, wait a minute, the DNA is the blueprint for the protein. The proteins are the physical elements that give us our behavior and give us our structure, so that the DNA is pre-coding our behavior and our structure. And yet, the one last question was, well, if DNA controls the proteins and the proteins control life, one last question is, what is it that controls the DNA?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America.
With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at libertystickers.com. Again, that's libertystickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The new word on the street is bloated. Yeah, you eat this food, GMO, herbicide, pesticide. Foods aren't safe anymore. And then we eat them, and we're bloated. Our stomach says, no, no, no more, Seymour. So what we have to do is drink the tea. Are you on the tea? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Super strength tea. It will help you with the new word, bloated. You can get it today. Log on to GetTheTea.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Because that would be going up to the last rung of the ladder to find out what is ultimately in control. The conclusion of this experiment was basically very fundamental and very important in shaping the biology we have, because it said this: DNA controls the protein, and the protein represents our bodies. And DNA controls itself, meaning that DNA is responsible for replicating its own self. So immediately what they said is, oh my goodness, that's the whole hierarchy of information. DNA controls itself, and DNA controls the protein. And that led Francis Crick to describe what is called the central dogma. And this is what I was teaching in medical school. The central dogma is this: that the flow of information in biology goes from DNA to RNA, and RNA is like a Xerox copy of the DNA, and that the RNA is used as the physical template to make the protein. So basically, the unfoldment of information is DNA goes to RNA, goes to protein. We, our physical bodies and our behaviors, reflect the protein part. But then when people say, well, where did you get your physical traits? Where did you get your behavioral traits that are manifest in the proteins? The answer is you go back up the ladder and you say, well, the proteins were coded from the RNA, but the RNA is a copy of the DNA. And so basically it says that life is controlled by DNA. That is the central dogma. And the relevance about that is that once we start to believe that, then we believe also in what is called the primacy of DNA, which is another way of saying the same thing in textbooks. Primacy meaning first cause. So when they say, well, tell me about that trait or character that you express in your life. And then a scientist would have to say, well, the first cause, the primary reason, is the DNA, because the DNA is responsible for giving us the pattern and shape of the proteins, which in turn give us the characters of our lives. So the central dogma supports a concept called the primacy of DNA that says who and what we are and the fate of our lives that we lead are already pre-programmed in the DNA that we received at conception. Well, stop about this for a second and say, well, what is the consequence of this? What does this mean in our personal lives? Well, we can step back and we talk about something that science refers to as genetic determinism. This is the belief that the character and the fate of your life are already determined or described in the genes you received at fertilization. So that more or less that as the genes come together during conception, your fate is already being written in that genetic code. Well, the significance about that is when we step back and say, well, wait, the things that go on in your life, the characters and traits, you may be happy with them, you may not be happy with them, but then apparently they appear to be related to the DNA. And then I say, well, as far as you know, did you pick the DNA that you came with? And the answer is, no, not really. But if the DNA provides for characters in your life that you don't like, can you change that DNA? And the answer is, no, not really. And all of a sudden you start to realize something, that the character and fate of your life reflects the heredity that you were born into, the lineage, that you are actually a victim of heredity, that you yourself didn't pick the traits, but the genes are going to control them. I mean, for example, every trait that we found in the human body, there have been biologists trying to identify the genes that control them. We see that virtually every day in the papers, in the media. A gene has been found to be associated with this, and a gene has been found to be associated with that. And all these traits that we're looking at appear to be written in genes. For example, scientists actually got together and looked at a group of people and scored them on the basis of happiness, and tried to find out whether there was a gene that was associated with happy people that wasn't active in unhappy people. And sure enough, when they got enough happy people, they found a particular gene that seems to be more active in the happy people, and they immediately put out a big news media blip on gene for happiness discovered. And so essentially what they were trying to suggest was that the amount of happiness an individual can express in their life was genetically determined at the moment of conception. Well, all of a sudden you say, well, wait a minute. If I got a sucky happy gene, then my whole life is going to be predetermined on the basis of this heredity factor. I'm a victim of my heredity. Well, when people start to really own this, and this is exactly what we teach in school, and this is what I was also teaching in medical school, that people are controlled by these genes, then people start to realize that, in some sense, they're very powerless over their own life because they didn't pick the genes, they can't change the genes, and the genes apparently control who they are, so that's your fate right there. And when people start to recognize the nature of being powerless, they also start to become irresponsible, meaning, well, if I can't change it, I can't do anything about it, then who cares and why should I even bother? And all of a sudden we start to see people giving up on their lives as saying, well, it's out of my hands, it's out of my control, I have nothing to do with this. And then also making excuses for their lives by saying, well, look, I know, boss, you're calling me lazy, you know, but I just want you to know my father was lazy. My father, he was a sloth. What can you expect from me? I mean, it's genes made me lazy. I can't do anything about it. So basically, the population has really given themselves up. And science hasn't really helped, because science keeps trying to suggest that we're victims of everything, that cancer cells are victimizing us, or disease cells are victimizing us, or that bacteria can kill us, and that be afraid of this and be afraid of that, because we are these, you know, just these biochemical machines and very frail, and that nature can override this machine. And so we built into our lives the belief of victimization. I mean, even recently in Newsweek, they were talking about how fat cells are waging war on our health. And it's interesting, because while in this epidemic of obesity, science stands back and says, well, it has nothing to do with you. It's your fat cells that are waging war in your life. So there's a tendency for us to let go of control and perceive ourselves as our fate being predetermined by the genes, and we're just trying to make the best we can out of life. And then when something goes wrong, of course, we have to go to a physician to try to get our chemistry and our genes to work more effectively to give us a better shot at life on this planet. So we feel victim to our genes, and as a result, we really express a concept of powerlessness, which is obviously very detrimental in trying to carry out your life. However, to come and save us, the Human Genome Project entered into our world. And it's interesting, because even when the Human Genome Project was announced, I even thought, well, this is a humanitarian project. Yes, the idea of the project is to identify all of the genes that make up a human. And why this was going to be really important was that then if people are having negative consequences in life based on genes, then it would offer the future opportunity of genetic engineering. Once we identify all the genes that make a human, we can identify the genes for all the different traits, and that people could actually engineer themselves or engineer their offspring to create the kind of life that we would like to have, you know. And this is actually the fulfillment of the mission statement of science, to dominate and control nature. And it's interesting, because the Human Genome Project was envisioned to be the last major biology project of all time, because once all the genes were known, and we know that DNA goes to RNA, goes to protein, and that the genes as DNA would be the control devices, the rest of science would be just taking that information, learning how to turn it into technology, wherein we can genetically engineer people, plants, and animals, and create that world that we would really like to have. Well, that was actually what I thought was the basis of the Human Genome Project, a humanitarian effort. It was interesting later to find out from Paul Silverman, one of the principal architects of the Human Genome Project, that that actually wasn't what the project was all about. What it was all about was simply this. It was estimated that there was going to be over 100,000 genes in the human genome, because automatically we go back to the premise that the proteins in our body, the building blocks, are made by genes. There's a different gene for each different protein building block. There were over 100,000 different proteins, so by nature there was going to be over 100,000 different genes. Plus, there were even genes that didn't make proteins but controlled the other genes. Those were called regulatory genes, and it was estimated that there were anywhere from 20 to 50,000 of those. So before the project got off the ground, the scientists were given these secure facts. Number one, there was going to be in excess of 100,000, maybe 150,000 different genes. That once we identify these specific genes, that we could then use these genes in genetic engineering experiments and correct the ills and problems that face humans in this world. Well, again, it started out as that we were going to do this for humanitarian purposes. It turns out, as Paul Silverman said, actually that wasn't the design behind the Human Genome Project. That actually the project was designed by venture capitalists for this reason. They figured that there were over 100,000 genes, that by identifying these genes and then patenting the gene sequences, that they could then sell the gene patents to the drug industry, and that the drug industry would use the genes in creating health products. So that, in fact, it was very interesting, is that the program wasn't actually for advancing the human state as much as it was for making a lot of money. And that The interesting fact was that since the Human Genome Project, every gene that has been identified has since been patented as well, and that there's been an effort to try to sell these patents to drug industry for drug discovery purposes. But here's the fun part about it. The Human Genome Project got off the ground with knowing. They knew the DNA controlled life. They knew that the proteins were blueprinted by the DNA. They knew that if you go up the evolutionary scale, that simple organisms had less DNA, and when you get to the level of humans with the kind of complexity of our physiology and our behavior, that we would have a lot more DNA, so that primitive organisms would have maybe a few thousand genes, but by the time you get to the human, we're going to have 150,000 genes approximately, which in their mind meant 150,000 new drugs. So the project gets off the ground in 1987.
What was interesting is 1987 is the same year that they patented life. That case lost, and they had to grant a patent on this newly created microorganism that was supposed to eat oil. I thought that's interesting. So they, as soon as they got the patent ability, then they started, they funded and started the Human Genome Project. And I don't know how many of you are familiar with the fact that there has been a lot of talk. I don't know for a fact that it's actually gone into production, that they're going to try to create a cancer vaccine. Okay, now they want to create vaccines for these diseases, and then they think they're going to be able to locate the people who might be at risk of these diseases and vaccinate them against cancer. Whole thing isn't going to work. But it is true, from what I read, we've got the FDA getting ready to give them all the help they need getting their products to market. So I think we're in for a rough ride, because these doctors, he told you what the doctors understand. And it is so true. When my close relative and I went to different doctors' offices and I started reading their forms, sure enough, on all the medical history forms that they have you fill out before you see the doctor, they want to know if such and such diseases, and there's a long list of diseases, if your father's had them, if your mother's had them, if your sisters or brothers have had these diseases, or your children. They're looking to absolutely connect cancer, heart disease, kidney disease, all kinds of diseases to your genes, to your family lineage. And what is so crazy is, at the same time, I'm absolutely convinced they're aware of the fact that our water has fluoride in it, our food has glyphosate dusted on it and in it, aspartame is in all the pop and the gum, high fructose corn syrup. In other words, they bastardize our food and our beverages and our drinking water. So the same diseases they're going to contend are genetic are actually environmental toxins that we are being exposed to. I think it's just really interesting, because he brings back the idea of who we are. Is it nature or nurture? And that has been a question that they've tossed around for all of my life. Are we a product of nature or nurture? Do we have time to go ahead and... I guess we don't. We're going to have to wait till after the break. So Bruce Lipton has made even more discoveries of how to take this information and use it to benefit humanity. And that is what makes him so valuable. Before we go on to the next clip, I would like to remind the listeners how important it is to support RBN. RBN is one of the last networks where the truth reigns supreme, and the hosts are pretty fearless, and certainly John Stadtmiller is fearless. He is not afraid to tell the truth. There are no sacred cows, I don't think, in this network. We're all willing to do our best to get out the best information we can. We may not be right on everything, but we're doing our best to get out the best information as we have researched it, as we understand it. Hopefully, with the whole population with good information can make much better choices. And that is part of what RBN is doing. They believe you can handle the truth. They believe you're entitled to the truth. And I believe you can't make good decisions if you don't know the truth. So it's a win-win for the listeners, but it is costly. RBN needs your support. RBN needs the support of the listeners in pledging to RBN on a monthly basis would be ideal and so appreciated. If you're ready to do that and you wish to do that, all you have to do is go to RBN, the homepage. Right on the front page of the site is a little donate button. You can click on that, and it tells you how many different ways you can donate to keep RBN on air. All the archives are free, and not too many radio networks offer that. This one does. And all of the hosts, they do this because they're inspired to get out the information to the public. We don't get paid. We just care very much about getting good information to everyone. We'll be back after this break.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one of them from Amazon.com. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I was a little bit alarmed, as I have always been in good health. I started this regime as soon as it arrived, and I have noted that the heaviness in my chest is gone and the pressure headaches I have been having are lessened. I am hoping to see greater results as time progresses, as I am an avid non-user of pharmaceuticals and avoid them at all cost if possible. This was, I think, a great alternative to heart medication. Not that I am a doctor. And for some, there is no choice. But again, for someone like me, I am so far pleased with the results. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Welcome back to In Defense of Humanity. This is is Al Whitney. We're going to go into the next clip. This is, again, Bruce Lipton, an audio clip from a presentation that he did. And it'll probably go into the break, so Sam will stop it for the break and then continue it when we come back. Let's go ahead.
I was completely devastated by this because I thought this was just great science about how the membrane is really controlling life. So the interesting thing is I said, okay, I might be crazy, but I started looking at the literature, and the more I looked at the literature, everything kept revealing the same thing, is that I was on this right track. So I continued this research, and I'm working on my own, and now I actually end up with a job. I'm teaching in the Caribbean on an island, Grenada, one of what we call offshore medical schools, where students that can't get into conventional schools, medical schools in the United States, have an opportunity. There are several schools that are found outside the United States where students can go in and do the work and then come back in and take the required board exams in the United States. And I was teaching at one of these schools. And while I was teaching there, I had continued my research on understanding the nature of the cell membrane. And it was on a particular night in 1985 that it was about 2 a.m. in the morning, and it's now about 10 years of research on trying to understand the nature of the cell membrane and how this structure is involved with controlling the cell. I've looked at it upside down, left and right, backwards, forwards, revealed its structure and through all the kinds of molecular analyses, studied all the movements, and I had an understanding of it, but it really didn't gel until this particular night in 1985. And in 1985, I rewrote the definition of the cell membrane as I'd been looking at it in terms of biochemistry. I had rewritten the definition in a way that I had never written it before. And I wrote down this following definition of the cell membrane. The cell membrane is a liquid crystal semiconductor with gates and channels. And I heard myself say that, and as I was typing it on the computer, it really dawned on me and said, wow, that's a real interesting definition. It's funny because I've heard that definition somewhere, but not in terms of biology. And then I started getting like, oh, somewhere, I just read that. And I looked around, and there on my desk, on the corner of my desk, was my first Macintosh with this little smiley face and a book right next to it called Understanding Your Microprocessor. And this was a booklet that I bought from Radio Shack describing in simple terms how my computer worked, because that was my first computer. And all of a sudden I grabbed that book and thumbed through it, and there it was on page 3 in the introduction. There was the definition of a computer chip, which read, a computer chip is a crystal semiconductor with gates and channels. And I stopped for a second. I said, oh my God, wow, what a coincidence. The definition of the cell membrane and the definition of the computer chip are exactly the same. And then all of a sudden I started to realize that the data in my head started to spin around like crazy. And it was interesting because I got this visual image of like a slot machine at Las Vegas where you pull the crank and then all those little wheels start spinning, and then all of a sudden a cherry shows up and another cherry shows up and another, and all of a sudden all these cherries came across the screen of my mind, and it was like this jackpot, because what all of a sudden I understand was it was not a coincidence that the cell membrane is structurally and functionally homologous, meaning the same as a computer chip.
Time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program.
go to apsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to apsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I can get too. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at apsapart.com. That's APPSAPART.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.